Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on Wednesday, May the 3rd of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man program, for the Miracle Man program. Yes, I am the Miracle Man. It is great to be with you here on Wednesday, May the 3rd. And for you Star Wars fans, may the 4th be with you tomorrow. Sorry, folks, this time it can't be on the day of. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, it's how I do the show, because we do the show on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening. This time it just did not work for May the 4th to be on one of the show nights, like it did the last couple of years. So like last year, Wednesday would have been the 4th. The year before, Tuesday would have been the 4th. And then Monday would have been the 4th. But not this year. So may the 4th be with you tomorrow. And for those of you who are not tuned into Starbucks, there is actually in Starbucks, Star Wars, now, in Star Wars, there's always a part, you know, in these movies where they say, may the Force be with you. So it's become a thing that on May the 4th of each year, you know, it's may the 4th be with you. That's because you've heard of the whole may the 4th be with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of more or less the Star Wars, I don't know if you would say blessing or the, you know, whatever. When they say, may the Force be with you.
Yeah, they say that so much.
They what?
They say that all the time.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for us, you know, we can all say, you know, may the Lord be with you. May the blessing of the Lord be with you.
Yay.
Amen, as it should always be with us, you know. You know, and whatever we may face, you know, we don't have to sit there and wonder if he's with us or not. Maybe you're heading into, like, maybe you're facing a test of some kind. Maybe, you know, whether it be a test at school, whether it be a medical thing, maybe a surgery. I mean, I know how it can feel, you know, when on a day that you're supposed to go out and under for anesthesia so they can do some work. Or maybe do a test that they have to anesthetize you for, you know, whatever. And I always think, you know, anytime you face that kind of thing or something else, you know, you can always rest assured that the Lord's with you. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who are saved, if something goes wrong, you know, and we end up not making it, for those of us, you know, who have been right with God, we're going to heaven.
Yeah.
So, and that, and the worst thing that can happen in that kind of thing is that you go to heaven.
Right.
And
winning.
And what? Yeah. And what's wrong with that? Well, you win.
Yeah.
You know, even though those of us who are on the earth, you know, might not be so happy, you know, because maybe we lost a loved one or something, but. But, you know, for you, it means, you know, you get to be with the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, because I can recall a certain time in Chattanooga, Tennessee Hospital when I was like, and I'm like this, like, five-year-old kid or so, about five, and going into surgery. And it ends up being a very long surgery. And I go in there, you know, right before I leave my mom. But I think it was right before I left my mom. I said, you know, to go back there and, you know, be wheeled away and wheeled off to surgery. And I said, Mom, the angels are going to be with me. The angels of the Lord are going to be with me. And everything is going to be all right. might have not said the everything's gonna be all right, but I did say, the angels are going back there with me, and that's literally what I said. They did go back there with me. Now, I did not know at the moment that it happened, nor did I know the day after it happened. I didn't necessarily know till years after. But that was the surgery, that my heart stopped during the surgery. When your heart stops during a surgery, that means basically for at least a second, you just about die. I say just about because they were able to bring me back just in time, but, you know. But you think the heart. But God brought me back from that. He brought me back from that, and that was a miracle that I was brought back from that. And whatever circumstances you may be facing, you can always rest assured that God is with you, and He's helping you through it. And our God loves us so much that with the Israelites, He parted the Red Sea so that they could walk right through. Oh, but when the Egyptians tried to do that, you know, behind them, it wasn't so pretty for them. That's why I went, you know why I went, don't you?
Yeah.
Because not good. Nope, they were drowned. And their wheels were already pulled off their chariots. The enemy's plans were thwarted by God.
So the tires were off before?
They were coming off basically as they were going into that dry Red Sea.
Yeah.
And it was making it so those Egyptians who were trying to stop them, you know, because Pharaoh had basically sent them out there to try to stop the Israelites.
Yeah.
And they couldn't. God won. They won. And God won in that whole thing because He parted the Red Sea for those Israelites so they could walk right through. And that was despite the fact that there was a shorter road that they could have taken. But God didn't want them taking that road because He didn't want them having to deal with, like, the war. Like, different war that they were dealing with. You didn't realize that there, in the book of Exodus, it actually tells us that there was a shorter road that they could have taken.
Oh, it tells us.
Because you see, it can be easy to overlook little things like that, even if you are a Bible reader.
Yeah, and it's still so important.
And there can be important details, you know.
Very.
You know that, and when I was reading that to you listeners last week, and for those of you who missed it, please go back and listen to it. When we talked last week about the parting of the Red Sea, you need to hear that recording.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would highly suggest that you hear it. And it even opened my eyes to that fact that there was a shorter route that they could have taken, but God didn't have them do that. And He said, nope, I have a plan B.
Yeah.
His plan B was that He was going to part the Red Sea. Now, some of you maybe that might want to fly, that might not want to fly to go out of the country. Maybe you want to go to like South America or something, or Europe, and you don't want to fly, and you think the Atlantic Ocean is just going to be parted for you. You can wish, you know, because all that water has got to go somewhere.
Yep.
And chances are, if it's not in the water, and the wall of water isn't just going right alongside them, you know, it'll flood everything that's near it. So it could literally flood cities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, we don't want to flood cities.
Right.
And all that, and like, and so, part of why the whole Atlantic Ocean won't necessarily be parted. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to get that airplane ticket or end up going on a boat somehow. But that'll take forever and ever and ever and ever and ever that you'll be on the ocean. And you think about those on a Mayflower who were coming over from Europe. That took a very long time for them to get to Massachusetts. That took a long time for them to get to Plymouth Rock. Speaking of Plymouth, another reason to get excited about warmer weather is in different places, city pools will start opening up in the next month.
Yay!
Including here in the city where I live, where it's literally a month from today that it's opening up. Hopefully by that point, we have more sustained 70s. And no more of these crazy mid-40s highs. And if I've looked at the 10-day forecast, and everything after today is basically 60 and above the next 10 days.
Yay.
Which is much more May appropriate, which should help with, as they start, to pump in water into the pool. And I've been told that they don't completely drain out the pool, the city pool here where I live. They for something about the piping or whatever, they told me this past summer, that something about the piping or something requires that they keep some water in it.
Oh, yeah, because it'll freeze if there ain't flowing through.
How do they make sure that water is not frozen through the winter?
As long as it keeps a steady flow, I don't know. I guess, because then it seems like it would overflow, but that's a good question.
Because I'd honestly be curious. Because mm-hmm. So that means they have, and they don't want, because they don't just want the whole thing to freeze over.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to have control of it somehow.
Somehow, at least to have some flow through there, so it don't get rock solid, froze.
So does that mean at some points maybe even the heater has to be on?
Oh yes, I would imagine.
So you bet that pool is running some of the times that we don't even think it would be.
Oh, for sure. I didn't even think of that with the
But they can't just turn it off.
Right. You leave your house in the wintertime. You got to either drain your pipes or have it running.
So you can't just turn everything off because you're going to be gone for a week or whatever.
Because it'll freeze.
If we just turn it off.
There'll still be water in the pipes, and you got to flush it.
Because those pipes don't take a vacation.
Nope, they will burst if they get too froze. We don't want that.
And so, but when they, filter it, for summer use, hopefully you can stay warmer. But you feel like, to a degree, it matters more so what it is on the actual days that it's open more so than what it does what it was
mm-hmm.
days prior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, unless it was, like, for whatever reason, only 30 degrees the day before it opened.
Yeah.
Then they'd have to turn that heater on full blast.
Yes, they would.
Then they'd have to, like, turn that thing on full blast. Probably have it set to like 90 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
They'd probably have to have it set on 90 degrees or something mm-hmm. just to get it to that desired 80 degree or whatever.
Yeah.
It
probably would have been a negative.
One more month, in some places, in some states, it'll be Memorial Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in some places like Florida, it'll be more apt to be open. So that's a sign, that summer is on its way. But of course, first it's spring, and of course at the apartment complex where I live, they're doing a little door decorating contest, and so we put some things on my door here in the housing community where I live. It's not gated or anything, but nonetheless, it's a housing community.
Yeah.
You know, I call it a housing community because there's a one portion of it is the big building, and then the other portion of it, where I live in now, is the townhouses. That's why I called it a housing community, because that's what it is.
Yep, and the decorating for spring.
Spring.
Has sprung.
Spring, yay!
Yes.
That finally is, and it's starting to green up, hopefully. We don't have any more setbacks and freeze warnings and all that kind of stuff. After that, after we only hit 40 some degrees yesterday, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't want another freeze warning.
No.
I don't want another freeze watch. I don't want another special weather statement from the weather service about cold weather.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'd have a little more patience if we didn't go to, if it wasn't only 45 degrees yet on May 2nd. And if Marquette, Michigan hadn't set a record, for the whole eastern half of America, everything east of 100 degrees west longitude, if we hadn't set a white stuff record for the month of May for one storm, 27 inches of snow. We sadly, that record is in Michigan.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it's like 5, 6, 7 hours away, thankfully. But...
Yeah, thankfully for us.
We better have, if it was out here, I'd be like, come on, Mother Nature, you owe us, like, I don't know, 10, 7-degree days?
Yeah.
Because someone must have been begging for that snow. Someone who really wanted to ski or something.
Oh, well, I guess.
They must, and to that, I'd be like, why do you still want to ski? I'd be like, if you want to go ski, go to Colorado. You'd be like, I don't want to hear you playing for that white stuff because I don't want to. I'm good till Thanksgiving. Thank you very much.
Thank you too.
Yeah. Or thereabouts. Like maybe the weekend before Thanksgiving when we have the community parade. I wish it was called the Christmas Parade rather than the Santa Parade. But when you do it before Thanksgiving, then I guess I can see, but in my mind, if the parade would actually be after Thanksgiving, I'd be asking those who put it on. I'd be asking folks, why are we calling it the Santa Parade and not the Christmas Parade?
Yep. I wonder if it ever was called.
I'd be like, because I know you're not necessarily changing it from Christmas to holiday, but at the same, time, it's like, okay, is it about Christmas and the crisis in it, or is it all about Santa Claus?
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, it's not Christmas right now, but nonetheless, when that time comes, mm-hmm. he's the reason for that season.
Amen. Yeah.
And I was just bringing up, that whole thing about when I would next be decent with it, with stuff that is white coming down from the sky. It's May now, so I'm trying not to use
the word.
That word between like May and October. Of course, June, July, August, September, that's not hard. And in May, it's not supposed to be, but, as those Michiganders found out.
Hmm.
But,
spring's here, we're ready.
Oh, well, it's here. And we're ready. And the good news is there are 70s coming as early as possibly Sunday.
Wonderful.
And I'm grateful for that. And when you see something like like what I had seen this morning about that Herman, Michigan, Herman the Worm. I know, that's why all that white stuff got there. There was a Herman the Worm. And here's why. Sitting at my fence post, chewing my bubble gum, dreaming about the snow, whoop, whoop, instead of playing with my yo-yo. And along came Herman the Worm.
Oh.
And he was this big. So I said, Herman, what happened? Big boom. If you did not go to a summer camp, don't worry about it. Now, my pastor will make a comment like sometimes about certain things, like if you're under 50, don't worry about it. If you're under 60, don't worry about it. But I had to change that approach. You say, why? Because some of you who did not go to summer camp might not know the story of Herman the Worm. And so I wonder what kind of worm it could have been. What, a snow worm?
I don't know.
If it was, why isn't it, like, dismantled?
Right.
Because if he was there and if it was a Herman the Worm statue,
yeah.
Would you be tempted to go right up to it and bust it?
I would be, like, curious to see what it looked like.
And then if it's still in May, like, if it's a brand new thing, I'd want to go bust it.
You would, too.
I'd be like,
I would too, and like, we've had enough. We're done.
We're done.
We're done, worm.
They'd be like, we're done, and we don't want that cloud to hang over us because it's, because after all, it's springtime, and that made it a perfect time to put this on there anyway.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's been close to 6 months since last Christmas parade. And it's a little over 6 months till the next one. So I figure if we can have 6 months, at least 6 months, without that stuff. Now in Chattanooga, they've never had it in May, June, July, August, September, or October.
Ooh.
Ever.
Cray cray.
Which happy for them. And for them in April, that stuff, that's why it has been very rare. And in November, it's been limited. Not necessarily yearly like here. And you know, something I've noticed in some recent years is that we've often lately had more of it in November than in December lately.
Yeah.
Which is, if you think about it, is kind of wild.
Definitely.
Because in my mind, I think we should get a little more of it in December and have hardly none of it in November.
Yeah, and it seems like we're getting a lot in January, too.
But January is kind of when you expect it.
True that. Yep.
January is generally a time, you know, it's that reverse July.
Yeah.
Because generally, like when we think of June, July, and August, one of the things we think of, you know, from a precept standpoint is these summertime thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Which can be a nice thing, you know, on a night after it's been a hot, humid day, and maybe it can, dehumidify it, but maybe keep some of the heat.
Yeah.
And then hopefully the next day you have a cloudless sky, you know, like 81 degrees, 82, maybe 84.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like, or better yet, for me, more like 86, 86, 88, 90, mm-hmm. but a not humid 90.
Yeah.
Because that way, but anyhow, folks, you know, I'm just kind of having a little fun.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's good, you know, to start out kind of, you know, a little lighthearted. Sometimes it's nice to do that and not always, you know, talk. You know, you don't always have to be serious 100% of the time.
Right.
And you got to be able to tell, to, you know, kind of mention what's kind of
going on
your mind. And that's why I'm doing it. But now on to the serious housekeeping stuff. Now, this isn't the bad kind of serious, but this what I'm about to do, folks, is stuff that I try to do every night so I can get the word out to people about a couple of quick things. Number one, the book Rivers of Miracles been out for about close to 3.5 years, and it's a project that my mom wrote the book, but I like to say it's our book, my book / our book. Mm-hmm. It's the story of my life. God told her to write that book. She was led by God to write that book. What did she do? She obeyed God.
Amen.
Because at first she's like, what? Am I really an author? Am I really an author? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? How?
Yeah.
And she did it by the grace, because God helped her. Because I'm sure she's like, well, I wouldn't mind telling the story, but she's thinking, you want me to do it in a book?
Great.
Yeah, and she did it. She did a great job. And I think that was God that helped her. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure maybe her mind might have given her some warfare through that whole thing, And chances are there probably was some. If you've never wrote a book before and then God tells you to do it, there could be some mental warfare there. Sometimes there can just, be some other stuff. But there are stories of my life in there, as well as my mom getting saved in there, and what happened with my mom and how she got all cleaned up. So you're getting two testimonies for the price of one. Think about that concept, folks. Two testimonies for the price of one book. And you get two different testimonies in there. And you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com, to find out information about the book and how it can be a blessing to you. And you can choose whether you want the book on a hardback, or if you would rather have it digital book. The choice is yours. Both kinds have been made available to you, And that's for you to choose, because we like people being able to have options. So if you can at all, avail yourself to that. Amen. So, there's another thing that I want to remind you about really quick. That is the PayPal. Now, I've come on here and I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes. And, I pray that me coming to you like this has been a blessing to your life. I pray that it's been making an impact on your life. And different workers that I have told me that it's made a difference for them. And I pray for some of you others that listen to this, that it's making a difference for you too. And Natalia, if you're listening, I want to say thank you for sowing your seeds, getting that seed in the ground. And you can go online to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. You can go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, you'll want to type in my name, Rivers Shukla. Rivers Shukla. Rivers, R-Y, V, as in Victor, E-R-S. Last name, Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind, if you would, a couple of quick, grammar things. Number one, there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. And number two, the other grammar thing, the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. And also the space between the Rivers and the Shukla. I'm telling you this just in order to help you. And so that seed can go where we want it to go, so you can get blessed. And I'm always believing God to bless you. And, and when I get notification about seeds, I always pray not only for the listener, but also for that seed. And I don't do the whole pressure thing to get people to give. I don't do that here. If you want to feel pressurized, find some other show. Because I don't do the pressure thing here. No, I'm no pressure. There's pressure trying to tell you what to give. It comes from something else. Maybe your spouse, if you have one, or maybe it's God. So be led by the Lord on what you should give. And the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. Even as your soul prospers. So how's your soul doing? How are you doing at forgiving people? How is your mouth? What are you saying with it? What's your attitude like? How's your church attendance? So, and I always pray over those seeds. Father, I thank you right now for those people who are choosing to sow their seed tonight. I pray that you bless that seed. Seed time and harvest. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen and amen. Now I'm going to sing a couple of songs. And then I'm going to get into the word of the Lord tonight. They were rocking and reeling in the streets of Jerusalem. People thought they were crazy. They were just having so much fun. But Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that fell on the day of Pentecost. This is that's pouring out today. It's all right. It's all fine. It's God's new wine. They were rocking in a reeling in the streets of Jerusalem. People thought they were crazy. They were just having so much fun. Then Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that fell on the day of Pentecost. This is that's pouring out today. It's all fine. It's all fine. It's God's new wine. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that fell on the day of Pentecost. This is that's pouring out today. It's all fine. It's all fine. It's God's new wine. They were rocking and reeling in the streets of Jerusalem. People thought they were crazy. They were just having so much fun. Then Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that fell on the day of Pentecost. This is that's pouring out today. It's all fine. It's all fine. It's God's new wine. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You know, that's a, and I know it's a fun song we used to sing, you know, back in the mid-90s, you know, in different churches and that would sing it. But honestly, the truth about that, about what that is it's about, you know, what happened there on the day of Pentecost, you see. And these people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And yes, it's a fun song. It's so upbeat. But at the same time, the truth is totally there.
Yeah.
Behind it. And so we got a couple got a couple more songs for you. Into your hands I commit again with all I am. For you, Lord, you hold my world in the palm of your hands, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason why I live, the reason why I sing with all I am. Oh, I walk with you wherever you go, through the tears and joy. I'll trust in you and I will live in all of your ways, your promises forever. Oh, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason why I live. You're the reason why I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason why I live. You're the reason why I sing. with all I am. I will worship. I will worship you. 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 Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason why I live. You're the reason why I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason why I live. You're the reason why I sing with all I am. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason why I live. You're the reason why I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason why I live. You're the reason why I sing with all I am. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus on the mountain, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Oh, break every stronghold, shine through the shadow, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadow, Your name's burning like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. To every soul there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul impacted by depression, I speak Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus in the darkness, mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadow, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Yes, it is. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow, burn like a fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I speak Jesus to every situation that these people face right now. Thank you. We've worshiped you. We've praised you. We're about to study your holy word for a few minutes tonight. Thank you that these listeners have come with ears ready to hear and that they're ready to focus on this word that have been given to me for these people. And every situation that presents itself to these people, I speak Jesus to that stuff. As when I don't know what people are going through, you do. And I speak Jesus to all of that stuff, all of it. Speak Jesus over all of it right now. I speak Jesus over the name of sickness and disease, over the name of poverty, debt, lack. I speak Jesus over depression, anxiety, mental disorders. I speak Jesus over that. I speak Jesus over these different, you know, situations that we speak. I speak Jesus over drug addiction. I speak Jesus over fear. I speak Jesus over these things that are trying to attack your people and bring them down. I speak Jesus over that stuff right now in the name of Jesus. Because your name is greater than all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Your name is so much greater. You're so much better. You're so much stronger. No one can compare to us. To you, Jesus.
Right.
I mean, no one can compare to you. Nothing. No one can. Nothing can. And thank you, Lord God, that you set your healing everyone and everything. All these broken hearts, these broken souls, you're healing them. And I thank you, Master, for that right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Master, that you're healing us and you're making us stronger. And so now I make my confession over this program. And I say right now that in your name, Jesus, by your name, sponsors and partners come into this program. Finances come into this program. More and more listeners tune into this program, Jesus. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Hebrews 4. Amen. Hebrews 4. And we'll see what all the Lord has for us tonight. And I want to encourage you for the next little bit, you know, whatever I do here, you do there, wherever you are. So as I open my Bible, turn around and go ahead and study. Open it up on your phone or on your tablet or if you got the book, you know, open up the Bible. And by the way, be paying attention. Don't be writing your grocery list. you got shopping to do up to the Miracle Man show after the program's done? Don't be writing your grocery list right now. And if I give you a list of things to write down by chance, for whatever reason, I might do that. Don't be using that as an opportunity to, I've got to write my grocery list. The grocery list can wait. Because you only have to put up with me until midnight. Okay, just kidding.
8 hours. So Hebrews, what was it?
Hebrews 4. And I'm gonna start with verse 1. And it says here, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now, we who have believed enter that rest. Just as God has said, so I declared, on oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. And yet, his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day calling it today. When a long time later, he spoke through David, as was said before, today you hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrates even to defending soul, but divides soul and spirit, and joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him by whom we must give account. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We'll end with the first passage of chapter 5. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever." In the order of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions, with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became a source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and of designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So what we read here, folks, is that Jesus is for us, he's that high priest. He, you know, when we're going through, you know, and we're dealing with different things, you know, when we've done things, you know, it's not God's will for us to live in sin. It's God's will for us to stay out of sin. But whenever we have these times, you know, that we may fall away, and the Bible says, or whatever, or may get into sin. And by the way, the Bible tells us that all have fallen short of the kingdom of God. All have sinned, every one of us. Like at some point we all have, it acknowledges that we've all done it. But, you know, we can ask him for forgiveness. And after all, we will give an account to him one day. Judgment day will come. And we will have to stand before the Lord. And guess what we'll have to do? Give an account to our Savior. What did we do with our lives? What did you say? What, you know, and these different things. You have to give an account for your words, even your idle words. Think about that. Even your idle words, you will have to give an account for those. No, that's not the focus of the message, but you see, folks, he became our high priest. So he's the high priest. So if you're looking for a priest, you know, you have the high priest, Jesus. So Jesus is the head of the church, should be the head of the church. So think about it. In the Bible, it says, Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." Yes. On this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And when he is building his church, capital C, so, like, that's us. That's not strictly, you know, the building of Living Word Church or you know, in the case of, you know, Rowdy Howard Brown, the River at Tampa Bay International Church, or Solid Rock Church, or it's not necessarily just about like that kind of church. He's talking about his church. See, we are the church. And that's important that you understand that, that we in fact are the church. But those of us who are Christian, those of us who are born again, those of us who have, you know, accepted him as our Lord and Savior, washed in his blood, and, you know, baptized, blood bought, you know, and have all these different benefits from Jesus. And he did this, all this for us. And you know why he did it? He did it because he loved us. He did it because he cared about us. He did it so we could have life in him. He did it so we could have that rest. And think about it in the book of Matthew, where Jesus said, come unto me that I refreshed and ready to work really, 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 really hard. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's not what it said. Imagine if it actually said that. I bet you that would turn off a lot of people, don't you?
Yeah.
They're like, what? I bet you a bunch of even the guys that might be thinking, what? Maybe they're like, what? Really? I'm tired. They'd be like, we'll try it again. Okay. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. And I, the Lord Jesus, I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Part of what that's referring to is finding that rest for your soul. So that your soul can rest and not having to always be dealing with worry, depression, oppression, and all that kind of that. More suffering. You know, and that you can find rest for your soul. You can find some joy. Because let me tell you something. It's not the will of God for you to be depressed. It's not the will of, that's not the will of God. It's not the will of God for you to stay bound.
Or fear.
It's not the will of God for you to be living in fear and always having crazy levels of anxiety. Jesus, I mean, then the Word of God actually says, be anxious about nothing. That's actually the way that's the Word of God telling us not to have anxiety. Why we are not to let anxiety control us and let depression control us and let these other mental things control us. This is why, folks, you have to wash your mind with the water of the Word of God. I used to tease about this and say, wash it with the water of the Word of God and not the vanilla Coke of the Word of Man.
Love it.
Even though I do personally enjoy, I love me a great vanilla Coke, vanilla Coca-Cola, or cherry Coca-Cola. which, by the way, Preacher Man, if you're listening, Coca-Cola is better than... My Coca-Cola is better than your Dr. Pepper. But that's besides the point right now because you're trying to bring the Word of God. But all seriousness now, wash that mind with the water of the Word of God. part of that of finding that self-rest includes our mind and not having it always be run by things. That's why, and in order to do that, you have to wash your mind with the Word of God. Meditate in the Word of God. Not meditate in all the stuff you got to do tomorrow and the deadlines and the, oh, I better have it done in 20 minutes. Because then your anxiety level is going through the roof. Your blood pressure is going up and you know it.
So you trust in Him.
Trust in Him. Because it's not the will of God for us to always be super anxious, depressed, feeling down, feeling angry. We gotta find that rest in Him. And when you give it to Him, when you give all that stuff you're dealing with, when you give, when you give your worries to Him, instead of always worrying so much, because some people that are super anxious, part of why they're super anxious is because they're always worrying. So maybe like you want to cut your anxiety level down, cut down on the worry. And I think about, the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, where it says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than raiment or clothes? It's funny, it's called raiment, but not raiment. Raiment.
Right.
Why is it called raiment?
I don't know.
Raiment sounds like raiment.
Yeah.
And I remember, when I was like 10, when I was like 9 years old, sitting in my house, listening to the King James Version of the Bible. Yeah, in different places it would say raiment. So now I'm going to go through my mind, Raymond, throwing the ball in the house. So I said, throw ball. So I would go from being Raymond, what it was supposed to be, Raymond, to Raymond, to through ball.
Hey.
To go a golden through ball. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than through ball? My brother would be throwing the ball in the house, and my mom would say, "No throwing the ball in the house." Did you ever have a sibling like that throw a ball in the house?
Oh yeah.
Who? You?
Me and my brother and my sister.
You threw a ball in the house.
Oh yes.
What did your mother say?
Well, it was usually when mom wasn't there.
did your sister Jamie ever say, "Laura, no throwing the ball in the house"?
Oh, I'm sure she did, but I'm too young to remember.
Did your ma ever tell your brother not to throw the ball in the house?
Oh, yes.
Why is it that they always say no throwing the ball in the house?
It's going to break something.
Oh, that's what it's about. It's not just about, that brother might be around. And
watch out because it bounces and it can knock something off the wall. Yeah.
So there's more to it than just, don't want to hit sister or brother.
You can throw them outside all you want,
but don't throw it in the house. It's funny, when you're younger, all those kind of thoughts come to your mind.
Yeah.
I don't know, at church recently, someone was reading the Bible and they said Raymond. Mm-hmm. What came to my mind was Raymond. Again!
It did come to my mind too when you said it was Raymond.
When I said Raymond, you thought Raymond, my brother.
Yep, I sure did.
You thought, oh, Ray, Ray's son. Ray Raymond. And Ray, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I hope you're not mad.
Hi, Ray.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. Already blessed, bro, except for Ray, if you're listening. Yeah. But in all honesty, folks, you know, in all seriousness, though, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes?
Yeah.
See how they do not sow or reap, nor do they store away in barns, but the Lord feeds them. You know, the lilies in the field.
Yeah.
And they don't go around working to get their stuff. They can't work. But nonetheless, they get fed.
Yeah.
And
so do we.
And we get fed too. But because He loves us, He cares about us.
More.
So we don't need even more. We're worth more than many sparrows.
Mm-hmm.
We're worth more than many sparrows. That little sparrow noise. Yeah, we are worth more than sparrows.
Yes,
and He didn't just say that for somebody to say, He meant it. And so I wanted to give you some assurances tonight and show you, you know, you don't need to be worrying so much, you know, as you go through your life. And all this worry about self-esteem, all this worry that people deal with about self-image, all this worry that people do deal with about, you know, these different things. You know, give it to God, because you don't always have to ask God what color car you're supposed to buy, because God, just about God, doesn't care what color car it is. He doesn't care. He doesn't care whether it's red, blue, black, pink. White, yellow. Now your kids might.
Yeah.
But not the Lord.
No.
You know, the truth is He loves us.
Yeah.
And He wants us to have the desires of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And where'd my phone go? Trying to see where it fell.
That was under your neck.
I'm trying to find my clock.
Oh, okay.
No, let me check it. Oh, sorry about that, folks. I was just kind of, you know, every so often I just do a little bit of clock management. You know, if I was just making sure that we weren't closing in on like 3 minutes or something. But Jesus is that high priest for us. And He takes such good care of us because He loves us.
Yeah.
And that song, that last song we sang tonight about, you know, speaking Jesus over these certain things, you know, about speaking Jesus over your family, speaking Jesus, you know, over these different things, speaking Jesus over your mind, and that, you know, there's truth, you know, there's, you know, do that yourself, do it, speak Jesus over those certain things that try to bug you. Don't go around using your house or using Jesus as some passcode, Jesus, to the point where like it's used. No, don't be doing that, but like for the real stuff. And don't be going around your house thinking that everything has a demon either. My fridge door won't close. Might be a demon. The water that comes out of my sink isn't very hot. Must be a demon. Low water pressure, demon. A little bit of water in my closet, demon. Don't be doing that. You know, there's times like that we actually call a repairman for some stuff like that, and don't just say, "Oh, it's a demon."
Right.
Because, you know,
things
stuff,
happen.
Because stuff's gonna happen. You know. You know, but
praise him.
But, you know, thank him. And it says, in everything give thanks, not for everything. Don't give thanks. Like, don't be like, I thank you, Lord, my house is flooded.
Well, thank you, God, I have a house to be flooded.
Thank you, Lord, my water is not hot. Thank you, Lord, my shower is cold. Mm-hmm. Yay! I mean, no, you thank the Lord in everything, not for everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, people sometimes, they just think the craziest thing. Or imagine if someone, you know, says, thank you that we're poor. Thank you, we have nothing, we're so grateful. And what we thank you, Lord, that we don't have the money for medicine. And we thank you that our stomachs are floating from no food.
Ugh.
And you're such a great God. We love you. You're an awesome God. What a dumb prayer.
In everything, not for everything.
Yeah. My pastor actually has said that stuff on the pulpit before. Yeah. And I said, it's funny when he's said it, but you know, and it, there's a good laugh from it. But in all honesty, he's going to make a point to us.
Yeah.
In everything, give thanks. In those trials, in those tribulations, not for them.
Right. In them.
I like that. And then everything that also means, you know, in the good things, as well as for those things. Good things, you know, for the miracles that he did and what have you in your life. And hopefully you'll get some more miracles. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for miracles being performed in these people right now, in these people that need them. Thank you, you're healing bodies right now. Thank you that finances are coming into people right now as we speak. Thank you that provision is coming. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing for each and every one of these people right here, right now. And Father, I thank you for this word tonight, that we would get it in our hearts. We would realize that you are the true high priest over us. I thank you that we would put aside all those worries, that we would not be so anxious. Speak Jesus over us again. I speak that name of Jesus over depression. I speak Jesus over anxiety. I speak Jesus over fear. I speak Jesus over addiction to drugs and alcohol. I speak Jesus over bondage. I speak Jesus over these things that are trying to get into these people. We are your children. We are not bound. We're free by you. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that, for what you're doing in us and through us right now. In Jesus' matchless name, and now I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwellings, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, fire, flood, or crash, no sickness, no disease, none of this evil stuff is going to come near us, our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace, great joy, and prosperity, and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. And I sure love you. And until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll talk to you next time. Now, hit the end episode button. Thank you.
Is it off?